And the rest of you be fine in the book of Hebrews chapter 1. We're going to do a kickoff a series in Hebrews on Wednesday nights. Going through a series of Who is Jesus? Who is Jesus? So I'm excited about sharing this message. I am so thankful that He is the God of all of my days. Not just part of them. Not just the good ones. Not just the bad ones, but all of them. He's part of every season. He's part of every uprising, every downfalling. He's part of every one of my days, and I couldn't live without Him, and I'm so thankful. Thankful He doesn't change. I'm thankful His love doesn't change. His compassion doesn't change. His mercy doesn't change. His forgiveness doesn't change. He is the same always. He is King of kings, and He's always going to be King, whether we think He is or not, and whether people think that He is or not. He's still going to be King, so I'm thankful for that. Glad you're with us tonight on this beautiful Wednesday night. We got, of course, Mother's Day coming up this Sunday, and we'll be honoring all the moms this Sunday. Every single mother will get something, I promise. Either a black eye, and I'm playing. Every single mother will get something, so I promise. Do what? Yes, yeah. So we'll have a little goodie for the moms. We're going to have a special drawing as well for a few people, and there'll be some moms that'll get a little something extra this Sunday if you come and you don't lose your ticket. So be here for Sunday morning for Mother's Day as we honor all the beautiful moms of Living Word Ministries. All righty. We'll be in Hebrews 1, and we'll try to get through this whole chapter, only 14 verses, I believe, so we should be able to get through it tonight. And Hebrews is a very unique book. I love Hebrews. It's a very powerful book. And I tell a lot of people to read, I refer to Hebrews 10, and we'll get to that in the series later. But I always refer to people to read Hebrews 10 to really understand who Jesus is and what Jesus did. But Hebrews is kind of odd because it has no known confirmed author, which is kind of interesting. Some say Paul wrote it, but it doesn't really line up with the rest of what he wrote. Some accredit to Apollos, other men. So Hebrews is kind of known as the anonymous book, but man, it's a powerful book of the Bible, and I'm excited about getting into it. So let's start with verse 1 in Hebrews. It says, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spoke in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. Now, the writer is addressing the people, I think, because a lot of things are happening here. A lot of people believe that did angel worship. And they worshiped even the prophets, and they thought they were just, and they were, the prophets were, you know, great men of God. The angels are definitely real. We'll talk about angels here in a little bit tonight. And they were real. But the point of Hebrews 1 is he's trying to address the issue of the superiority of Christ, of Jesus being over the prophets and over the angels and over all things, that, you know, he is the ultimate. He's it. He's on top. He's above all. And so he opens up by saying, yes, God spoke in times past through prophets. He absolutely did. We know that. And hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son, who is Jesus, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. So we see here that Jesus is the creator of all things. He's over all things. And, you know, we hear a lot about last days, right? And, you know, I grew up hearing a lot about last days, one of the last days. You know, in the 60s were the last days, 70s were the last days, 80s were the last days, and all that. Well, they are. But really, if you do research, the last days are from the time that Jesus rose from the grave until now. We've been in the last days for 2,000 years. It's the last dispensation of time after Christ rose. We're waiting on the church to be changed. We're waiting on the kingdom to be established. But we are and have been for 2,000 years in the last days. And I know people want to put a date on it and say it's worse now than it ever was. You know, I got thinking about some things. I believe there's more of an awareness of God today than there's ever been, a more of an awareness of God than there was 1,000 years ago, 4,000 years ago, 2,000 years ago. There's more of awareness of God, even though it seems like, I know the culture and we always talk about morality and all that. Do you know, you go back to the beginning, Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed for sexual immorality, homosexuality. You know, prostitution was going on back then. Cain killed his own brother in the beginning. I mean, we see murder, prostitution, homosexuality, drunkenness and orgies. We see all of that in the beginning. That was happening then. And so I believe today there's a more of awareness of God than ever before. I believe knowledge and light and truth is being revealed to more and more and more people as they are hungry and seeking the truth. Because now we have this completed Bible to help us as Christians. We also have the beautiful gift of the Holy Ghost living inside of us to teach us and show us things that wasn't there before. So there's more to me of awareness of God than at any other time. And the prophets would give glimpses of who God was. They would speak in parts of what he was going to do and future judgments or future manifestations. And now we have a completed work of the Bible and the Holy Spirit. And we have preachers and teachers of the gospel to listen to and all kinds of books to read to point us to the awareness of God and who he is. And so I know I've been hard. I think most of us are hard on today's generation, because we just don't agree with it, or we don't like it. We don't like the music of today, or the way that maybe people dress today, or the TV shows or movies. I get all that. But man, there's always been filth and dirt. That's always been. There's always been sin. There's always been ungodliness. There's always been wickedness. Always. So I just want to say that. So here we see Jesus. We're in the last days. We have been since resurrection, waiting. And here he's talking about how he is appointed heir of all things, and who also made all things. Verse 3. Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had, and I love this part, this is a part you need to check off or highlight, it's the theme of this book, when he had by himself purged our sins. Do you see that? That's in our Bible. By himself, he purged our sins. He took care of business for us that we couldn't handle. And then he sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Once again, in this culture, angel worship and the deity of angels was very much honored. So the writer is saying Jesus is far above the angels you talk about. Now let's talk about angels for a minute. Do y'all believe in angels? I absolutely believe in angels. The Bible talks about how angels are real, how they were created. Psalms 148 talks about they were created. Understand, as much as my mom loves me as her beautiful, wonderful little boy, I ain't no angel. Thank you. I was created a human being and not an angel. I will never be an angel because I was created a human being. Angels were a separate spiritual creation that are real, and they are real today, and they have a purpose. The word angel means messenger. They bring a message to us. Angels protect us, and there's word for all this, scripture to back all this up. They protect us, they serve us, they guide us, they lead us, and they can speak to us. We see throughout history, who came to Mary when she first was having a baby? Remember what happened? An angel appeared to Mary and spoke to her, "Fear not, Mary, for thou art with child, and this child shall be called Jesus, and he shall save the people from their sins." An angel appeared and made that message. Also, an angel came to Sarah and Abraham when he wanted his own child, and Sarah was old. Remember that? And an angel appeared and says, "You'll have your own seed." And Sarah laughed and scoffed. Angels are active, created beings from God, and they are at a higher level than us, but not a higher level than Jesus. And so I believe that there are angels all around us. And I believe these are supernatural beings that aren't bound by space and time like we are. They can come and go at will and go through any portal or any dimension, because they're supernatural beings that God created for a purpose. And they're serving us, church, and they're for us, the believers, to help us and to watch after us. You know, my wife was in two wrecks. One was really bad, pregnant with Christian, walked away without a scratch. My son was in a motorcycle accident a year ago, about a month ago. It's been a year ago, a month ago. where he out in Nebraska, we went off a bike and I mean 45 miles an hour, went rolling down the road, walked away, just a little bit of road rash. My son fell off a cliff in Virginia one time, went down to a quarry, walked away to just a little, had to get a couple of stitches in his arm. He flipped over in a Jeep one time. God watched over him then. A transfer truck came in the back of a car on a blizzard in Nebraska in the Grand Prix, and he walked away without a scratch. You know what I'm thinking? My angel's like, Lord, give me that one, please. Because, man, this is a lot of work. But I absolutely believe that God has those spiritual, supernatural agents in place, watching us, helping us, speaking to us, ministering to us through dreams, through visions, through word, however they want to minister. But they can visit us in any measure of ways to relay what God has or wants for our lives. So I absolutely believe they are real. And I believe that they are, I believe each one of us has angels personally assigned and watching over us. I really do believe that. For look at verse 5. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son? So this day I have begotten thee, and again it will be to him a father. He shall be to me a son. He's making the notation that angels are not, that Christ is superior to the angels. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, let all the angels of God worship him. Jesus gets all the glory. Jesus gets all the honor. Jesus has all the power. We do not worship angels. We worship Jesus. We don't worship prophets. We worship Jesus. We don't worship religion, denomination, spiritual movements. We worship Jesus. And this is the whole point of Hebrews, is pointing all of us to the superiority of who Christ is. Not who Christ was, because as we'll read, and as most of us I hope believe, and if you don't, I can't get into all that tonight, but Jesus Christ has always been. He wasn't created 2,000 years ago. He's always been. He's eternal. Always been, and there's scripture to back that up as well. Angels were created in a point of time, but not Jesus. We see the manifestation of the body of God 2,000 years ago, but he's always existed, and there was always a plan of redemption, and that's what's beautiful. So when you hear that song, when he was on the cross, I was on his mind, you're on his mind long before the cross. He went to the cross because of us, but you were on his mind long before that. And of the angels, he saith, who maketh his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire? But unto the Son, he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever a scepter of righteousness and a scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with oil of gladness above thy fellows. And thou, Lord, in the beginning, look at this, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands. They shall perish, prophets, angels, humans, but thou remainest, and they all shall wax old as doth a garment. Pointing that Jesus will last forever, that he's eternal, he won't pass away, he won't die, he won't grow old. He is eternal, and he is forever. And I think the whole focus of sometimes with religion, we get too focused on ceremonial things or denominational movements or a certain preacher or a bishop or a pastor or a prophet, whatever you want to call them, and we lose focus on who we're supposed to be worshiping and who paid the price for us. It was Jesus. He was king. He is king. He is savior. He is priest. He is Lord. Think about this. He was the high priest that went in for us to absolve our sin. No other priest could do that. The high priest of old would go in once a year behind the Holy of Holies to do their thing, but it did not take away the sin from the world. But this high priest, Jesus Christ, after he went in once and for all, he obtained that redemption for us. So he's my priest. He's my king, because the Bible says there's no name above his name. The Bible also says that every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that he, Jesus, is Lord. There's nobody else above him. He's top banana, top dog, CEO of CEOs. He is the main man. He is the main squeeze. He is all that and three bags of chips. He is King and Lord Jesus. So he's my Lord. He's my Savior. He's my King. He's my priest. He's all in all. He's everything. There's no principality. There's no power ever created that supersedes who Jesus is. He's always been, and he'll always be. The Bible says in Colossians that all things were created by him. Everything we see is created by our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Think about that. That's why he's the God of all my days, not just part of them. Man, he was God of... When I was in my mother's womb, he was the God of my day. To my last breath, the God of my day. To my first breath of him, the God of my day. He will not leave me no matter what season I ever go through. He's always there. Maybe I don't feel him some days the way I want to. I get that. There's days I don't feel God the way I want to. Maybe I'm not trying to feel God. Who knows? But there's days I don't feel God the way I want to feel him. There's days I don't hear from God what I want to hear. You know, and then all of a sudden God will show up like he did two nights ago and give me a vivid dream that I shared with Melanie. And I know it was a spiritual dream, a dream of encouragement, a dream of hope. And I love when that happens. It wasn't what I had the night before to eat because it wasn't a crazy dream. It was a very dramatic, very detailed dream. And I know that God was speaking to me through my dreams. He's the God of all of my days. You want to see, hear God? The Bible says, seek him, you will find. Knock, it shall be open. Don't give up on that. Keep seeking. Keep knocking. He will answer you. We all go through dry seasons. Don't mean he's not God of all your days. We all go through times we don't feel what we need to feel. It doesn't mean he's left your day. You may not have the Holy Ghost shout tomorrow, but it don't mean God's not in your day. You may have a supernatural, you may have an unexpected a bill that comes in the mail that just makes you want to pull the rest of your hair out. It don't mean that God's not the God of your day. Your dog may die, your car may break down, and your air conditioner may break down, and you know, whatever, a tree may fall on your house. God is the God of all of those days. He changes not. So I will worship him for who he is, not for what he does. God, who are you? You're my Lord, my Savior, my King, my priest. You're above the angels. You're above the prophets. God, you're above all creation because you created all creation. Everything has to bow at your name. From the bluebird in the garden to the bison out west to the shark in the ocean. God, every creation has to bow at the name of Jesus. A wheel can't turn unless you tell it to turn. No, it can't make a sound unless you tell it to make a sound. A tree can't wave unless you send a breeze to cause it to wave. The sun can't rise and set without you telling it, rise and set. The stars can't come out until you say, it's time, boys, begin to shine, because you are in charge of it all. You're above every principality, above every power, above everything created in the past, present, and future. And there is no name above that name of Jesus. And that's why there's so much power behind it. And that's why there's so much restlessness behind it at the same time. Because, man, people don't like sometimes you talking about Jesus. They're okay with that. There's a higher power. Yeah. Witchcraft's a higher power. There's a higher power. But let's call him by name of who he is. In the name of Jesus, my priest, my Lord, my Redeemer, my Savior, my King, name above all names, every day of my life, everything that comes into my day has to surrender to who you are. And man, when you put that perspective in it, God, you're bigger than that. Yes, bigger than that. Bigger than what happened. Yes, I'm bigger than that and that and that and that. I'm bigger than anything that attacks your life. When the doctor says this, I'm bigger than that. Whatever happens, I'm bigger because I'm King and there's no name like my name. When we start seeing Jesus, who he is, and as we get into Hebrews, it gets really, really good comparing the old covenant with the new covenant and what we are walking in now. Verse 12, as a vesture, thou shalt fold them up, and they shall be changed. But thou, talking about Jesus, art the same, and your years shall not fail. If you are married, there are times your wife may be different one day than from another. Can I get a witness? One day you're good. One day you're like, okay, what happened? Did I say something wrong? Well, if you don't know, I shall tell you. Okay. I don't know, but okay. Our children's moods change, especially between the ages of 12 and 18. They get longer than that, that's true. They change. There's some men, as they get older, like Joe Brown and Gail and Doc, no offense, but you're older than me. And there's some men that as they get older, they're just the sweetest little old men. And there's some men that get old, they get grouchy and grumpy. Grumbly. You see them in a Walmart and they're on the little walker and your wife says, oh, they're so sweet. And you look at them, you talk to them. What do you want? Okay. Ooh, bulldog. Crotchety. Yes, crotchety old men. Our seasons change. We may have been sweet at one time and now we're not as sweet. We may have been open-hearted and now we're a little more closed. We may have been so giving and now we're a little more reserved. Because our seasons change and those seasons change us. But it doesn't change him. I'm so thankful that my seasons that change don't change who he is. He is always going to love me whether I feel loved or not. He's always going to be there for me whether nobody else is there for me or not. He's never going to fail me whether others all fail me. He has promised in his word what he would be to me. And that doesn't change because my seasons change. We change in looks. We change in appearance. I stopped to get a biscuit the other day at McDonald's. And I ain't seen this guy in about 10 or 15 years. Ran into him. He looked at me. He goes, boy, you been eating meat and taters? Why? You bigger than you used to be. Really? Well, you older than you used to be. Thank you. Why do you say that to somebody you ain't seen in 10 years? Can you just say, hey, man, good to see you. How's church going? How's it, meat? Really? You know what? You changed some, too. You used to have black hair. Now it's all gray. I didn't say that because your pastor is kind and compassionate. So I just blew it off. And all I said was, brother, I ain't seen you in 10 years. I guess I filled out a little bit. That's what I said. So I guess I grew up. But, we change. We walk a little bit slower. Doc can't do 100 push-ups no more, can you, Doc? And his dreams. Doc was a Marine at one time, and I bet could drop and do 100 like that when he was in the Marines. Do 100 sit-ups, 100 push-ups, jog 5 miles. He was in shape. He tried to do a push-up now that he had to call 911, falling, can't get up. Bless his heart. Because he's changed. You still look good, though, Doc. But you know what? But he's changed. We change physically. We change emotionally. Sometimes we change spiritually. Sometimes we change financially. But our seasons change. Our thinking sometimes changes. Our circumstance changes. But I thank God that he doesn't change the plan he has for us. That his plan for me is I went to the cross, and as we read a while ago, by myself I purged your sins. I forgave you of all your iniquities, and that ain't changing. That's done, and that's set in stone. You are a forgiven child of God, and I'm not changing because I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the mission I came to do was to establish a name above every name, above sin, above ungodliness, above unrighteousness, above iniquity, above all of that, and I accomplished that at Calvary completely. Died for your sins, rose for your righteousness. And I've got it in my hands, holding on to it for you, because I don't change. I don't take back what I gave. And I gave you the gift of grace. And I don't take it back because you're having a bad day. I am so thankful that my God, as it says here, doesn't change. Other things do, but not God. Verse 13. But to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thy enemies a footstool? See, he's addressing about angels again. They had a hard time. They really were into angels. And he was trying to say, no, Jesus is so much more superior than the angels. Verse 14. Are they not all, look at this, ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be the heirs of salvation? Angels are real. They have a purpose in our lives. They are to minister to us about the one that saved us. Minister to us about the one that died for us. Minister on behalf of God for us and be down in the trenches with us. They're down in the hole with us. They're in the, what they call the rabbit hole or whatever. The angels are there with us in life. They're in our cars as we're driving. I mean, think about how many times you were almost in an accident and God kept you. That it almost could have been disastrous and God kept you. I've had many occasions like that. Many occasions where I know that the angel of the Lord, angel or angels, I probably need more than one, however many I got, watching over me, protecting me, helping me, keeping me, and guiding me. And God put that in place for our benefit. You know, It's a Wonderful Life is one of my favorite old-time movies, and most of y'all have seen that with Jimmy Stewart. You know, he had an angel. Remember that? And Jimmy Stewart sitting in that little train station or whatever and looked at him and says, you would be an angel I'd get. Or, you look like an angel I'd have. Name was Clarence, I think. Clarence was his name, the angel. And poor Clarence was trying to earn his wings. And so he sent him down to help Jimmy Stewart get his life together and try to earn his wings. You know, and he ends up that movie saying, every time you hear a bell, an angel got its wings. And I know some of that's a little fictitious and dramatized. But I really do believe that God can be that realistic and detailed in our lives if he so desires. That God can put an angel in your car with you to where you can even hear it or maybe even see it. I'm not going to question what God can do. They're real. They're a spiritual creation by God. And so I encourage you to be aware, have an awareness of the spiritual power that God's put around your life. And don't discount angels as something fictitious, something cartoonish, something, oh, whatever. Because I'm going to tell you something. When you can sure see demons in people, that's for sure. And demons are real, too. And they're also they're in a supernatural realm as well. To get onto people's lives, to cause them to do things they wouldn't normally do because they're overtaken by that spirit. There is no name superior to the name of Jesus Christ. He is above all names. As we get into the series in Hebrews, we're going to get more and more into that, the depths of what he did. And it starts comparing the old priestly order and the new priest in Christ and how that changed everything. And I'm so excited about getting into this. You know, this author is opening up by letting us know that God has spoken various ways through prophets, through angels, through dreams, through visions. He spoke at various times in sundry places. And we, you know, God talked through a donkey. We know that story. You know, God talked to angels multiple times, Abraham, and then, you know, with Mary, you know, different other places angels appear. And so we know God, and God used prophets to declare, you know, Jeremiah, Isaiah were prophets, Jonah, prophets to declare the word of God of what was going to happen, judgment. God has used many different sources, but we are not to worship that. We're to worship him because Jesus is above every prophet, every angel, every deity, every principality, every power. Jesus is above all that. So as we get into this series, it gets really good. Hebrews is an incredible book, and we'll get into this more in detail. Trying to establish that his name is above every name. Any comments on this before we go any further?